Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are you doing?
Great. Yeah,
doing well.
Wow, that was quite an abrupt change. That's encouraging. Yep. Perhaps a sure sign that at least it feels more like spring is upon us, so that's always a good thing. Gentlemen, today I'd like, on this edition of Word Made Flesh, maybe look at somewhat of a familiar story to us, but maybe a little unfamiliar as we break it down and really let it set into ourselves and do a little self-analysis here. But I'd like to look at chapter 4 of Jonah. All right, so if I could have somebody read, what is that, 11, 12 verses of chapter 4, that'd be great.
But Jonah just seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down on a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry at the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?
Okay. Interesting little scripture. You know, the entire book of Jonah ends with a question. So much for the happy ending, right? That's, all right, first thoughts. What jumps out at you?
What's up? I think right here is, I think Jonah's a little, I don't know the terminology to use, a little perturbed at the fact that somebody else had repented and now he doesn't, they don't get the judgment he expected God to besiege onto them.
He's definitely bitter and resentful, that's for sure. Yeah.
So part of that is he fails to realize the provision aspect of God. It says right here, God provided a scorching sun. God provided a worm, and he is literally doing what we do on a daily basis, worried about things that are not in our control, to a point to where when they benefit us, we're cool, calm, collective, and then as soon as it's gone, it's like for me, if I were to put myself in Jonah's shoes, it's like he has a hand in what God's doing, so when it changes, it freaks him out, it's like, wait, I'm not in control, and I think he's more hurt. And upset at himself.
Okay. Right. Anybody else?
Now something weird to end. I didn't really read that. It's just to me, it's a ministry. It's like one of the, like, he protects, he provides, he gives you a shelter. Now go preach. Go tell him about me. It's 120 child, like, people don't know right from wrong. Go let them know about me. You know, that's all he's asking Jonah to do. You know, and he's showing he's in everything. You know, I'll give you. You know, I provide this, provide that. I'm in it all. I do it all. All I'm saying is, you go talk to these people so they can know the left hand from the right, so they can know, through him. You know, it's just a story. At the end, that's what leaves that question for all of us. Are we going to go tell them? Are we going to go show them? Are we going to go sit back and complain about the shade and the sun and everything else? I'd rather just die. Life sucks. Or we can go let these people know. Because still to this day, there's millions and billions of people that are on the left from the right.
I think
you know, so you're supposed to wait and sit back in the shade now because you know, or are you going to go tell him?
When he speaks to him about the shade, though, he says, you've been concerned about the plant.
but you didn't tend it or make it grow. It's these physical or material blessings, I think, even, or even just spiritual blessings that God can give us. We have to participate in that. He's not just saying, here you go, this is good forever, just hang out, because then I guess our nature would just be to take it for granted. I don't know, I see a lot of interaction in that, like, hey, do this and then go take care of the people. Even the worm, even the thing that seems negative in it, he gave that. He said, hey, you could have taken care of that.
Yeah, just a relationship. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a give and take, kind of just like a marriage or something. You know, that's what you show them. Hey, I'll do this, I do this, I do all this for you, do this, we come back, you know. It's not just a, I did this, it's done, you do this, it's done, it's a signed deal. It's an ongoing.
It says it right here that Jonah makes an announcement. I knew you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. But when he does that, he gets mad. And, you know, I've been in points in my life where I definitely wasn't listening to what God was telling me. I wasn't even tuned into the same frequency, not even close. And so mad at myself and life, and it wasn't going my way, that I wanted to kill myself. Multiple occasions, attempts and all that sort of stuff. And I feel for the guy. Like, to be in that such a state of despair that death seems like the better option. I don't know, maybe I'm looking at this differently. I don't think I am, it's nothing new, but it's, I think it's just more of an example of how desperate we are to be in control. How desperate we are to assume we're always doing the right thing. How desperate we are to make the realization that at some point, what is provided for us isn't just for us. And it's the same thing. He's looking at what was provided for other people, and it didn't include him. So now all of a sudden, what he was doing isn't necessarily right in his mind. You know what I mean? It's a proof thing. He was proven wrong. And if I were to put myself in his shoes, I get it. I get it completely. You know, when my son died, it was the same thing. It was, and I've been told, I have been told multiple times, and I still probably think it majority of the time is, you know, Randy, you're a drug addict, you shoot heroin into your veins, you've tried to kill yourself, you've robbed, cheated, lied, all these things. Your son died. How come you didn't? And he didn't do anything, you know? It's a guilt thing. This guy's guilty. He knows it.
Good. Anybody else?
I think Jonah was being pretty selfish and myopic here. And as if he alone was entitled to God's blessings, and God's blessings are for everybody else. But in actuality, all of God's blessings work together for everybody's good. And I think for us, the real blessing should be in the willingness to forgo comfort for the good of other people. And I think that's what we do here a lot. It's what I try to do here. It's what sometimes I fail at. And it's something I'm working at. It's like, sometimes I see myself getting angry at people. I see doing things I think they should be punished for. And that I blew way out of proportion, and I see looking myself a lot like Jonah. When I should be looking at Jesus instead.
Cool.
I would have ate the worm.
It probably was a big worm, though.
Probably to eat that whole plant.
I think snake worm. A lot of us really kind of want a vengeful God, you know, in our heart, in the heart.
Yeah.
You know, with things going on in the world, like war, retaliation, you know, and even capital punishment, different things. You know, we always kind of want us, you know, set things right our way, and we don't want to worship a merciful God sometimes. We really wish God was vengeful and angry to make us right, you know.
And perhaps that's the question that's on the table with this this little pericope, you know. Maybe you can share your own experience, you know, of when you get angry when God doesn't do what you want him to. I think you're absolutely right. Jonah is very self-interested. More so than seeing the God of justice. Because really what's going on here is God is reaching outside the borders of Israel. This makes God come across as anti-nationalistic. Is it possible God loves people who aren't Christian?
I think this book states that over and over.
Christians be reaching outside, right? Or what you're saying, we have a God that we just know is going to vindicate and retaliate and strike down the non-Christian. But in this story, no. And Jonah's bitter about it. You know? And then it does bring up, much like the book of Job, much like chapter 9 in John's Gospel, those are thematically about justice, theodotically speaking. And this is a God of justice. And Jonah's really wrestling with the idea that, that's not the same as mine. And so what happens when our God's not the God we want our God to be?
Yeah. We get angry. I am. When we try to become God, we try to play that role, and that never worked out. Does everything work? Then you go back to God to clean up your godliness, whatever you want to call it. You know?
So, talks about this plant sprang up overnight and died overnight, right? So, kind of like our faith does, in a sense.
Okay,
so we have this comfort, and all of a sudden it's just gone, and he says it. He says, God says, more than 122,000 people who don't know any better, and you want me to punish them for that. Are you crazy? that's how I think, like, really? They don't know any better.
But then he shows his childlikeness because he's throwing a fit, saying, well, then I'll be better off dead then. Just kill me then.
And the thing is they didn't repent. Yeah. They didn't stay that way.
Yeah.
But they did. For some people, that was an act of faith. That's a huge act of faith for a whole mass of people to say, but man, we got to make a change, and they do.
Well, in here, we've done our journey of holiness. And we have studied and seen in the Old Testament, you have the holy nation and then all the other nations. And then when we most recently for Lent did our study of Mark, and we see Mark is really Jesus talking about this is the gospel, this is the good news for the way of all nations. All right, it's no longer exclusive, it's inclusive. All right, so there's been this progression, and to some extent there's this foreshadowing and Jonah of what is to come. But God's reaching out to all nations. Doesn't mean, I think you're absolutely right, not all nations respond. Well, even the nation that's chosen is not necessarily through the representative of Jonah responding the way they probably should be responding. Right? And in here, the biblical author is really using the whole bush, vine, worm thing as a metaphor of Jonah's current spiritual life. If you're just going to bask in the good stuff God provides for you, you won't see the worm that's eating away at you. The worm of bitterness. The worm of resentment. Right? Will, in a sense, kill you. And so the worm and the shade from the bush represent Jonah's current spiritual condition. All right. Very good, gentlemen. Well, I appreciate all of your sharing and your insights this morning on this edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.